Hello guys, welcome back to another episode of Musings of a Tired Nigerian Girl. Let's get into it. For me, do you know what it is for me? It is the level of entitlement. You know, that entitlement that shows on some of your faces, the entitlement that shows in your tones when somebody doesn't let you walk all over them, when somebody puts their foot down, when somebody just says, okay, this is my boundary, you know, when somebody draws a line with you, that level of entitlement that shows on your face, that makes you feel angry, that, oh my God, how dare they? Wow! That is what I'll never understand. And that is what we're talking about today. So let's get into it. So, a couple weeks, I don't know if I should say a couple weeks or months, a couple months back, I defined my boundary in a certain situation and everybody was all the better for it. Before this, the concept of boundary for me, I feel like I knew when people were disregarding boundaries that I have set as a child growing up. Maybe I didn't want to do something or I wasn't comfortable with doing something and people made me do it, and you know, if I didn't want to be with somebody or talk to somebody, I knew that people were disregarding those boundaries, but I didn't know what it was at the time. I didn't understand the concept of boundary itself. And while I'm not a people person, I won't say, like, when I say I'm not the type that will make somebody want to do something that they clearly don't want to do, but I'm not saying that I would have probably never done that myself as a child or like while growing up. But the concept of boundary itself, I didn't even start to understand that until my late, like, mid-20s to late-20s, and maybe a little bit of early 20s, but I didn't understand it as boundaries. When I was in, okay, before we go into what happened a few months ago, when I was in uni, I kind of set boundaries with acquaintances and friends, not really knowing that was what I was doing, but I had to at the time, because it was beginning to affect like situations surrounding maybe where I live or like conversations, social interactions were starting to seriously affect my own state of like well-being, my mental health. So I had to just draw a line and just started distancing myself and just started like doing things I believed would help me just function, because it started affecting me on a level where it became, I don't know how to say, but like it became so bad. Like, so bad on a level. I couldn't, like, function. It really affected me. I couldn't function around those people. I didn't feel safe. I felt very bad about myself and all other things. So I started, that was the first time I had a thing, like, a proper face-off with the concept of boundaries. But I just set them for myself. And I didn't even go about it the right way. I should have communicated. I didn't do that. I just caved in, honestly, if I'm being honest. I didn't communicate, which I feel like, in hindsight, now thinking back to that time, while I did get my boundary, I might not have treated that situation in a good way, because other people, not everybody is aware of things that they do. Some people are just like ignorant to a certain thing, and some people genuinely believe that they are doing their very best. Like, some people believe that they're being genuine, not that they are not, too. Like, they believe that they're doing something from a good place, so it's not as if they did it with the intention to hurt you. Do you get? So in my not communicating, in hindsight, I didn't offer them a learning curve. Like, I didn't offer them a learning place or a learning situation about the thing, and it probably made friendships and acquaintance, you know, relationships to dwindle, which might not necessarily have, you know. Somebody might be hurting you and might not even know it, and the person might not really be a bad person, and you could have stayed friends, but because of my very bad communication, like lack of communication and the way I treated situations, I didn't give us that chance. But honestly, at the time, I was just sinking and I just needed out. So, you know, I started getting the concept of like boundaries and what I want to do and what I don't want to do and stuff like that, what I won't tolerate and everything. But all this time, I have to admit, I was one of those people. I feel like we all do this particular thing. We, based on the environment that we're in or our preconceived notions about a certain people or stereotypes or whatever it will be, we just tend to put words in people's mouths or just be like, oh, they won't, not necessarily put words in their mouth, but something like, oh, they won't do this because, yeah, they won't, but without giving them a chance. And that's what happened to me. So I work standard, my work should be 9 to 5, but if you're a lawyer, you know that in litigation, 9 to 5 does not really mean 9 to 5. First of all, you don't have no 9, it's starting 8 o'clock. And there's like 8 to 5, but even that might not be a thing because you have clients calling you random hours and things that needs to be done. And for some of us even stay at work till 8, 9, depending on the law firm that you're at. But for my peace of mind, I give myself a 9 to 5, and then usually after 5, I change phones or SIM cards or whatever it will be to just let me breathe. And me, I'm a kind of person where if you're in an emergency, probably don't call me. Text me. Because you call me, I won't pick. Not because I'm trying not to pick. I get anxious with calls. I have anxiety when I see my phone ring and I don't know who it is or I don't know what you want to tell me. Like, I'm the kind of person that you text me first and then you call me. So, like, I know what it is because I get anxious and stuff like that. But if you're in an emergency, don't call me. Text me. I'll probably reply you immediately, you know. So I try to surround myself with scenarios that just make it better for me, mentally speaking. And honestly, I feel like when someone is a good place mentally, they're actually a better person for it. Everybody's good for it. You know, everybody's better off for it. So, I have this particular client who used to call me random hours and text me random hours. Nothing serious or nothing important. It's just like maybe an information he wants to pass across. But he would text me like random hours, and instead of me to deal with the situation, I was apparently out of control by myself, and I wasn't giving myself the chance to explain why, you know, it was that I wasn't picking his calls when he calls me by 8 or replying his text messages even if I might be online, especially when the text message is not really of an urgent category, do you know? And I used to always like, and it started affecting me seriously because the case was very sensitive and everything started affecting me, and my mental health was going to shit because of it. But I decided that, you know what, I'm just going to message this guy and I'm going to explain myself. And I sent a very nice text message. Later, I thought it was very rude, but everybody I sent the message to was like, oh, this is not bad, actually, it's quite professional, so thank God for that. I sent a very nice text message explaining the concept of my privacy and my boundary and how, like, okay, so I'm sorry for not picking your calls, but, like, it was after hours and whatnot, and that was why I wasn't picking, but I'll treat this like, you know, I don't want to tell you exactly what was in the text, but I did send that text, and I was all the better for it because he replied me in a very professional manner, apologizing. And even the next day, the case was the next day in court, he came up to me and apologized. And I also was misunderstanding a certain situation, so I also apologized. And yo, when I tell you that, it felt as if heavy weight has just been lifted off my shoulder. Like, I don't know why I didn't ever do that. I don't know if you're someone like me, if you've been in a situation where later you're just like, I should have done that in the first place. It would have saved us a lot of stress. I was just paralleling by myself, thinking that, oh, it would be rude to draw a line. It would be rude to explain that, okay, I don't do this and this is the reason. And, you know, I just felt like as a lawyer, my role was there to just serve everybody, uphold and serve. And because somebody was a certain like age or older than me or whatnot, I'm not allowed to say no, essentially, in a work setting. And honestly, it actually opened my eye to a lot of things, because this, first of all, this scenario could have been avoided, and secondly, you will never know until you do something. You will never know until you do something. And this, while this, and I feel like it's also about who you're talking to. If you're talking to somebody who just has, you know, an idea of respect and an idea of professionalism and everything and understanding, it makes life easier, as opposed to maybe talking to somebody. As much as the conversation went nicely, I could have sent that message to somebody and person would have thought, oh, you are rude and whatnot. In the same light, I have a client that calls me on Sundays, on Saturdays, on weekend, like the whole weekend, calling me by 9 o'clock, as early as 7. I haven't even opened my eyes, young man. So I feel like it really depends on who your client is, or who, in, you know, who is the person in question they're talking to. Because talking about people and work settings and boundaries, I also had experience with another person who believed they were drawing a boundary with me. I don't know, I feel like I'm about to sound like a delusional girl, but they believed they were drawing their boundary with me while I was setting my boundaries. So we had a clash, because I don't even know if this particular scenario would fall under to this topic. I feel like we fall more or less under, like, oh, feminism and how women are treated in the workplace and whatnot, because trust me when I tell you, in that scenario, if I was a guy, that wouldn't have been happening. So I'm just going to leave that gist for another time instead. But yeah, talking about boundaries in general life setting, I feel like my boundaries are usually more disregarded by guys. I feel like most guys in my experience do not understand the concept of boundaries. Y'all don't get it. You people are so entitled. Most of you feel so entitled. It's like, if somebody is saying no, if a girl is saying, funny enough, people understand it when it's another guy. You can ask a guy, oh, let's go here. And then another guy would say, I know, maybe another time, I need to be cool. I don't hear you people forcing each other or trying to coerce or persuade or whatever, manipulate each other to do stuff. But God forbid it's a girl, all of a sudden it's like, oh no, why, you should come along, oh, it's fun. No, did you not hear me the first time I said no? And boundaries, actually, the topic, the concept's actually quite broad. So we have personal boundaries, physical boundaries, emotional boundary, time boundary. That can be about, you know, time commitment, setting time limits and stuff like that. Material boundaries might be like opinions and my values, and you shouldn't try to coerce me, persuade me. Giving me information is fine, but not try to brainwash me by force to believe in what you believe. And then social boundaries. So maybe who you want to spend time with and stuff like that. But most of the time, I find more guys trying to convince me, why don't you people understand the concept that a woman is autonomous and self-aware? She know what she like. She know what she don't like. You don't have to convince me and force me and coerce me. I don't know why. It's usually guys that are trying to, like, break my personal boundaries in life. Whether I be the guy, that guy I was working with, I told you guys, me and Fatih also talked about it in the previous, like, an episode ago, where we had a business relationship. I met this guy off Instagram for a business collaboration. It was purely business. Nothing, not once was it going left until we started talking. Funny enough, I didn't even talk to the guy before the whole business thing. I literally DM'd him because of the business. And trust a guy to take a mile and give me a baby step. We're talking about, you know, the collaboration and whatnot, and I noticed that he kept using endearments. I don't know if it's normal practice. I am being a diva, but I don't know. If I meet people for business purposes, I don't go around saying, thank you, dear sir. Like, oh, thank you, dear. Oh, thank you, darling. Thank you. Like, in what world are you texting a business partner that you just met? I literally don't know you. Thank you, dear. So he goes, thank you, dear. Like, thank you, darling. And I'm like, after like 1, 2, 3, I'm like, see, I'm sorry. This is giving me cringe. It's giving me, like, I can't, in my head, I was like, I can't work with you if you keep doing this. I'm sorry, but, like, could you please not use terms of endearments when we are talking, when we are having a business transaction, when we are having a business dealings, because it's making me, like, I'm not comfortable. What did my guy say? I'm sorry, you just have to manage me like that. That's how I am. So, how? That is, oh my God. You are being corrected, but you don't want to listen. Talking about that's how you are. Okay, you can do that in your spare time. I don't want it with me. Can't you understand? Oh. Then the douchebag with the picture from last episode. And then we have the other guy who I told I don't like. That was more of like a romantic kind of relationship where I told him I don't like something. And he tries to tell me, oh, it's cute when people do it. It's nice. I tell you that I told you something gives me traumatic response. It's traumatizing to me. I don't like it. You're trying to convince me how cute it is. And I told him, I'm like, okay, see, I know where I get where you're coming from. But I don't like it. I don't know why I'm telling you something brings back traumatic memories. And you choose that that is the one thing that we're going to get stuck on. I will never understand. And many, many other, like, scenarios like that I've just chosen to forget because it's not worth it. But in my personal experience, guys disrespect boundaries more than anything in this life. There are different reasons why somebody might disrespect your boundaries or disregard your boundaries. So lack of awareness, just general disregard, misunderstanding, pressure, manipulation, maybe cultural differences, conflicts, or, you know, stuff like that. But all of that is just giving me entitlement, because honestly, except you feel entitled to something that somebody is clearly drawing a line about, I don't know why you would try to force it. And the concept that you would rather pressure or manipulate somebody than accepting the fact that they don't want to eat rice, I don't understand it. Even the lack of awareness I will tolerate in the first instance, because like I said, whatever you're drawing your boundary with, somebody might not know, right? You can say, oh, I don't want to eat rice, and somebody might just be curious and be like, but why, rice is nice. It's left for you to be like, okay, I just don't want to eat rice, or I'm allergic to rice, in which case you have now been educated. If you choose to still be acting a fool after that, you are just an entitled ass mofo. So right here I have with me some tips from Psych Central. The tips are, you know, those to consider for respecting other people's boundaries, because clearly we need all the help that we can get. Some of y'all need all the help that y'all can get. So let's get into it. Number one, get curious about the other person's needs and boundaries. Before I get into this, honestly, I feel like when people don't respect your boundaries, it just means that they don't give a shit about you. They don't respect you at all, and there's nothing you can use to convince me otherwise. Because why somebody be telling you something and that they're okay with, they're comfortable with, and you just want to break that, I would never understand. But let's get into this. Number one, it says get curious about the other person's needs and boundaries. Like I said earlier, I can say I don't eat rice, and you can just accept that and have it in your mind that, oh, she just doesn't eat rice, and not understand why. Or you can get curious and ask me, why don't you eat rice? And let me tell you, oh, I just don't like it. Or I'm allergic, or, you know, whatever. I just don't want to eat. That's what getting curious means. Don't be afraid to ask somebody what they need and why or why not. They don't like something or they like something, and just respectful enough to say, is it okay if I see, in this life nobody's more respectful of boundaries than a white person. And I feel like it's because of the quick to sue, how they're always quick to sue, quick to take it to court. Because you people in this country, that's what people need, someone that always be like quick to do 1, 2, 2, ladies, they're in chains. That's when you have some sense. Because let me tell you, when I was in the UK, yeah, every small thing, I always had people asking, like, can I do this? Is it okay? Would you like if? Like, those are polite questions that just help you navigate relationships better. When I say relationships, I'm talking about whatever kind of relationship, work relationship, romantic relationships, this and that. It makes you understand the other person. Because when you understand the other person, you understand where they're coming from. You are more likely to respect their boundaries naturally, more naturally. So, you know, but in this country, nobody ever asks anything. As soon as I tell you, okay, I totally get you not asking me, because trust me, I don't need you up in my business. But nobody cares enough to even be like, is it okay if I, you know. Years and years and years ago, when I was a very little girl, well, not very little girl, but I was like maybe 12, 13, 14, I went to this place to do a scan of my abdominal region, and this idiot guy just lifts, thank God my mom was in the room, just proceeds to lift my trousers, about to draw my trousers down while I was lying down, talking about, oh, he can't see what she's looking for. Nigga, what did you put there? Like, you can't even ask a simple question. When I was in the UK and I was like sick, or I would go into the hospital or into the GP or anything, before this woman leave my shirt, she'd be like, sorry, I'm just about to, is it okay if I, can you leave that for me please? Like, manners. But no, like, guy was about to leave my trousers. My mom was like, what? And then he then proceeded to explain how he couldn't, like, you know, he needed more space or whatever to check what he's looking for. But would he have died if he just asks? And talking about medical negligence or stupidity, I have a lot of stories for you people. And unfortunately, I have had conversations with girls who had this problem in a medical setting. We'll leave that for another podcast. But yeah, little questions like that go a long way, you know. Is it okay if I do this? It helps you understand that person's boundary, and it's just, whether it's his boundary or not boundary, it just makes you more looking like someone that has sense. Number two, watch out for non-verbal cues that somebody is uncomfortable. You can go to hug somebody and you see them cave in. You can go to touch somebody and you see them cringe. When somebody tells you, I'm not a hugger, must you hug them? You don't have to. You actually do not have to. You can move on. Nobody have to smell your innocence. Move. They don't want you to hug them. Is it by force? And that might be how you show love, but that's not how the person is receptive of love. And just understand that that's not what the person is into, and respect that that's not what they're into, and move. And sometimes, really, but it's not until I say I don't want this. You can see I'm clearly cringing. You can see my face. You can see me. You can see the look of fear and distaste and uncomfortable whatever on my face, but you still decided to do what you want to do and pretend under the umbrella of, oh, but you didn't say anything, God is looking at you. Number three, be empathetic. I'm sure that at some point in time we have been in each other's situations. Now, we might not have interpreted it the same way, but I believe that to an extent we all can imagine ourselves in another person's shoes. Right, if you were me, how would you feel? That might be a tricky question, actually, because some of us wouldn't have a problem, but can you put yourself in my shoe and see why I might have a problem with that? That is empathy. Be more kind to what the other person is saying right now, what the other person is experiencing right now, what the other person is telling you right now. I can't be telling you that something ignites the feeling of torture or the feeling of trauma in me, and your response is, oh, but it's cute. Does that make sense? Number four, be receptive. If somebody tells you, I don't want to eat rice, accept that I don't want to eat rice. Don't try to tell me about coconut rice is different. Well, have you tried fried rice? Oh, the rice is very nice. Oh, you have white rice. I say I don't want to eat rice. If someone tells you no, don't try to push, don't try to manipulate, don't try to convince. It is no. Number five, learn about other people's experiences. You know, so when I tell you this is what it is for me, you should be mindful of that on a day-to-day basis. If we cross paths, you know, you learning about that certain experience shows the other person that you care enough to, if you're in that kind of relationship where maybe you would have to meet each other often, or it just helps you to better navigate your relationship, whatever the relationship might be. Number six, acknowledge and reflect on the boundaries someone has set. If I say I don't want to do this, accept it and think about it. Oh, they don't want to do. Don't try to then report them to their boss and make them do it. or try to manipulate them into doing it for your own benefit. Don't you feel dirty when you do things like that? Don't you feel embarrassed? I will never understand how you don't feel shame. Acknowledge what the person has asked for when stating their boundary. Reflect or restate it back to them before you take any action. It's simple. Number 7, apologize when you violate somebody's boundaries. And not the kind of apology that you give after you intentionally violate the other person's boundary for your own selfish interests, which was exactly what those people did to me. I already gave you the gist in the last episode. Because now it's just like, I don't accept your apology. Because I don't know why you intentionally violate somebody's boundaries to serve your own selfish interests. Then you come back and give a stupid apology, a very useless backhanded apology. Oh, sorry that we made you do this. Like, oh. It says here, in other words, if you inadvertently violate someone's boundaries, you should apologize to them quickly and say you do better. Now, apology to me is not good enough to say I'm sorry without actually knowing what you're sorry for. In our society of today, people give apologies just because they want to give apologies. Like, oh, sorry. I hate those kind of apologies. Me, I'm a very firm believer of keep the same energy. Like, if you're not about to say sorry, if you're not actually reflective of what you did, if you're not sorry, don't say sorry. I won't say sorry. I don't know if that's probably a toxic trait, but I won't say sorry unless I'm sorry. And when I'm sorry, I'm really sorry because I took the time to think about what I did or how I might have hurt you. And I totally understand that I overstepped. And I come and give you a proper apology, not oh sorry. Or those kind of empty sorries. Anyways, number 8, forgive yourself for making mistakes too. Yeah, you're not a mind reader. And even the most observant people make mistakes. Like I said, reflect and change. Reflect, accept, and change. I'm just trying to be a better person, yeah? Number 9, it's okay to ask for help. It says here that if you're finding that people are accusing you of violating their boundaries a lot, consider seeking a therapist. Yes, because you might have a problem. It might be your toxic trait. You might be a narcissist, and you need to be clinically diagnosed as a narcissist. You don't understand the concept of boundaries. You don't understand the concept of people, or you might be just somebody who is self-absorbed. I know all those things sound like I'm giving you this, but it really is not me giving you this. I'm just telling you facts. It might be one of those things, and you should seek help for it. Do you get? Like, some people are self-absorbed. I know people who are a bit self-absorbed, and it's more ignorance than them actually trying to hurt you. They do not even understand the concept that they're trying to hurt you. They're genuinely just being themselves. And sometimes I really can't fault them. Like, you can see in their faces that it's not them being malicious. They're just being dumbly ignorant. So yeah, seek for help. It's good that you're able to identify they are struggling with something, and then seek professional help for it. Because respecting someone's boundaries is an act of love. It is actually, Kristen Smith said it right, it's an act of love. Because once you can respect somebody's boundaries, for me, it just shows that you see me, you hear me, and you respect me. And that is why we should do that, because it also builds, you know, trust and general respect and just warm, fuzzy feelings. Have you ever had a situation where somebody will do something for you, or you can see that somebody just accepts you and just does something for you, and it's just like, oh, thank you, you know? So yeah, that's why we should do that. Now, there's respecting boundaries in a relationship, in a friendship. I feel like in general, just respect, you know, whether it's relationship or friendship, is the same hack. And these things I told you are hacks. I don't know why you get angry when somebody's trying to set their boundaries with you. The person's literally giving you a hack in how to navigate living with them and cohabiting with them, or whatever the case might be. So yeah. So what have we learned today? We've learned that first and foremost, stop jumping into conclusion. I definitely did that for the longest time. I never was assertive. I feel like I became more assertive in my late 20s because I'm honestly, I'm about to be an old woman. I'm about to be an old man and just a grown auntie. I can't can't be letting you people walk over me. That is when I just started, like, you know what, I'm just gonna tell you how I feel and stuff like that. So kudos to that. But generally, we have to be more assertive. Be polite in setting your boundaries. I'm not saying that you should go and draft a very strong, woolly, worded, rude essay to somebody, whether it be work relationship or not. You shouldn't be rude. You can put your foot down in a very polite manner and still get your what you're saying across, get your word across. But you should definitely do that. I say jumping into conclusion because for the longest time I did that. I just assumed and assumed and assumed, and I was suffering for it, which made me very surprised when I actually voiced out what I was feeling and it was respected, and I got an apology, and I also apologized, and we were able to walk away from that beautiful situation. And I have so much respect for this man. Like, I actually have so much respect for him right now. So definitely do that. Secondly, stop listening to hear. People do that a lot. People listen to hear instead of listen to listen. You actually have to listen, because that's the only way that you'll be able to listen to what somebody's telling you and assimilate it and reflect over it and, you know, use it to better everybody's lives. Respect people's boundaries. It's literally a hack. And in a romantic relationship or a friendship, it's a literal hack. It's a hack this person is giving you into just living with them and cohabiting with them and just being in their space. When someone tells you, when someone sets a boundary, it's not about you. You shouldn't make it about you. If you're making it about you, then your narcissism is really showing, because it has nothing, most of the time, has nothing to do with you and more to do with the person. If, let's say, I am a hugger, depending on who the people around me, I'm a hugger. And my junior sister is not a hugger. And sometimes, most times, the way I show, like, love and just, like, when I'm happy to see somebody is hug. And she doesn't like to be hugged, and so I don't. That doesn't mean that when I see her, my first instinct is like, oh, you know, but I just remember that, oh, she don't want to be hugged. So I close my hands and just respect her boundary, and she would fist bump me, and I love the fist bump. So it's as simple as that, really. You don't have to make it about yourself, you know. Her compromise is the fist bump, and I'm very happy to receive that. And that's just better for a relationship, rather than me forcing her into a hug that she doesn't want to be in. Like, it doesn't, honestly, I keep saying it doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand. I would never understand it. And in friendships, we just have to respect the other person, just like any other relationship. Be respectful, be empathetic, put yourself in other person's shoes. When you do something, try to understand where they're coming from. You know, you might want your friend to always be around or do this and do that, and they might not be able to do that for you. Also, reflect on your own behavior. If you see that people always move from you or, like, draw back from you, you might be the problem. So take a minute to look at your board from afar. Think about it. Think about what it is you might be doing, and apologize. A simple "I'm sorry" actually does not cut it. I'm sorry. Maybe it is the old age that is kicking in, but, and I don't know, a half-ass "I'm sorry" does not do it for me in this 2023. I'm sorry. Like, just coming up to me and saying "I'm sorry" is not, I don't know, people say it's okay, but it's not enough. Why are you sorry? I'm not saying that you should come and give a whole speech. That's not what I'm saying, but are you really sorry? If you are, then that's fine. But just saying sorry to say sorry and move on. Nothing I hate in my life than that. I'd rather you don't even say it. So, you should apologize. You should accept and acknowledge. "I accept that I was this. I totally disregarded your boundary. I'm very sorry for having done that. And I would like to apologize. I know I hurt you. And I hope that you can come to forgive me. And I promise to work on myself and, you know, our relationship, because I really appreciate you." Like, that's a proper apology for somebody that you actually want to still remain in your life. Just saying, "Oh, I'm sorry you felt that way," or "I'm sorry," is the apology you give me, and I just block your ass, because I don't need that kind of, you know. call it divaness or whatever, please. I'm a grown ass old woman. So yeah, that's what we're doing for this episode. I feel like I didn't cover enough, but I'll leave you guys with the 2 cents that I dropped. And I'm gonna see you guys, y'all will hear from me in the next episode, where I'll be joined by Oni, and we're going to be talking about the educational system in Nigeria next week, Monday, not Thursdays. Thursdays is for rants and bants. Toodles.